Bach grew up in a very musical family. He had musicians stretching back generations, and he was surrounded by music from an early age. So it was almost preordained that he was going to be a musician.
What was his first instrument?
Well, he was a keyboardist, an organist, and that was his first position as a church organist. And later, he became a court composer, so he sort of branched out into composing as well. But actually, during his lifetime, he was much better known as an organist than as a composer.
And so was there a typical route for someone to follow?
Well, I think most composers and performers, you worked for a municipality, say the city of Leipzig or Hamburg. You became a church musician, perhaps. And then the ultimate goal was to become a musician at a court, at a royal court. So to have a prince or a king be your patron. And Bach eventually rose to those ranks, actually while he was still in his 20s. But his last position, which he occupied for much of his life, was at Leipzig, and he was, again, a municipal musician, but Leipzig was one of the great musical cities in Germany, so it wasn't so much a step down from the court to be working at Leipzig.
So did all of these jobs go together? If you were an organist somewhere, were you expected to compose?
Well, if you were a church organist, you didn't necessarily compose other than the music that you played yourself. But in Bach's position in Leipzig, he was essentially in charge of all the music at the city's main churches. So not so much playing as composing, composing music for worship services every Sunday, providing music for any special occasion. You know, if a new mayor is installed or someone important dies, there has to be music, and Bach provides it. And he also oversees all the music in the churches. And later on, he decides to take over the Collegium Musicum, which is sort of a student, semi-professional orchestra and chorus. And so he writes music for them and performs with them weekly.
Church organists aren't expected to compose their own music today. It was different at that time.
It was certainly different. I mean, there were pieces by other composers that you might play, but if you had much talent, you were expected to compose your own music and even improvise your own music during services.
And would other people play his music or just Bach?
Well, his organ music was pretty well known, and while he was in Leipzig, he published some of his keyboard music, so that became pretty well known. But his cantatas and his vocal music, his chamber music, his orchestral music wasn't all that well known during his lifetime. It all was transmitted in manuscripts, and, you know, you had to sort of know someone who had the piece. So, you know, printed music was easier to disseminate in some ways. So Bach was known as a composer, but not first and foremost.
You mentioned all the different forms that he composed. Did he have periods where he composed one type or another?
Yeah, certainly in the early part of his career, we get a lot of keyboard music, especially organ music. And then when he gets his first important position at a court at Weimar, we start getting vocal music and some instrumental chamber music. And then when he moved to the court at Curtin, there he composed mostly instrumental music. So that's where he put together the Brandenburg Concertos, for instance. And then finally at Leipzig, the job was mostly to write vocal music. And when he directed his Collegium, then again, more instrumental music was performed.
So were all his compositions basically jobs on commission?
Mostly in those days, not just Bach, but everyone composed on commission. So you had to have a cantata every week. If some prince wanted to have music during his dinner, you composed a concerto or something like that. However, towards the end of his life, Bach started composing pieces that one gets the impression he was trying to sum up not only his own career as a composer, but perhaps the entire tradition of which he was part. So you get pieces that seem very introspective and pieces that I think a lot of musicians at the time didn't quite understand, such as the Art of the Fugue and the Goldberg Variations. And then finally the B minor Mass, which as far as we know was never performed during his lifetime. It was just sort of a compilation, his word on the Catholic Mass, even though he wasn't Catholic. He had some kind of historical awareness, I think, of his place in the tradition of German organ playing and of vocal composition. And I think he wanted to sort of leave his final thoughts in some genres, you know, his final thoughts on the fugue, his final thoughts on the suite, on the mass. That's sort of a modern attitude that you don't find so much in Bach's lifetime.
you didn't have that tension between being an artiste and an employee.
Well, you couldn't really afford to be an artiste. You had to, I mean, I should say that Bach, more so than any of his contemporaries, was extremely rigorous. He had extremely high standards. And so he wasn't going to write music just to write it on commission. It had to be his way. You know, it had to be complex and thoughtful and difficult to perform. And he was criticized during his lifetime for that. But that's one reason that we value his music so highly today. It wasn't just, well, I've got to write this cantata, let me see what I can dash off in half an hour. He put a lot of thought into it, more so than most composers of his time.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.